Morris. This is Alan. Do you know each other?
Hi, please face us. Brian's coming.
Okay, do you have a Gemara?
I didn't bring a Gemara with me.
Yes, I looked out for a friend, so you can use that and I'll share with him.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay,
then. I
should have photocopied the Gemara. I didn't take care of that. We can actually.
I'm happy to use this.
Okay,
fine. I'm happy to use this.
Fine. So, Alan has a friend who's going to look on with him.
Oh, okay, all right. I could go home and take me 5 minutes to get my Gemara.
Yeah, I think we'll survive it.
Okay
then.
Thanks,
you want to grab a chair? All right, Morris. So, what I'd ask you to do is to open up to Beis Amid Beis. Yeah. Now here on Daf Beis Amid Beis, we have a sugya called Rabbi Avo. We're going to try to compare this sugya of Rabbi Avo to a sugya of Rav Acha Bered Rav Iko, which is on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. Those are the two sugyas that we're looking at. But let's see what we can figure out about Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo looks at the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually separates between Dine Mominus, which sounds like general monetary law, and that requires three judges, and Gzelos V'Chavolos. And Gzelos V'Chavolos also requires three judges. So the question is, What's the difference between the two? You know, the Mishnah opens up with a general rule that Dini Mominus requires three judges, and then it seems to like hone it down, sort of get more specific, and Dine Gzelos requires, or Gzelos and Chavolos require three judges. So Omer Rabbi Avo, the statement of Rabbi Avo, which we're going to hopefully try to analyze, is Mahein Katani. Now Mahein, which on Daf Beis Amid Beis, is a methodological structure, which means that sometimes the Mishnah gives a general rule and then the Mishnah qualifies that rule, and that's called Mahen. So the Mishnah opens up by saying Dini Mominos requires Shlosha, and then it says Mahen, what's included in Dini Mominos, and the answer is Gzelos V'Chavolos. So does everybody see the place? I mean, again, if you have a Gemara Sanhedrin, it's helpful. I should have photocopied it. I apologize. Binyamin, are you looking for the art scroll? Because we have it here, so that's it.
Maybe there's another one somewhere, or there's no more copies of that one?
I'm sure there are copies somewhere, but I wouldn't bet on it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If I was a betting man. Maybe, Morris, you wouldn't mind. Let's just go over to the... No, let's just go over to the photocopy machine. You want me to do this?
How many pages?
Are you gentlemen proficient at photocopy? Do you want me to do it? Maybe I'll just do it. How many copies do we need?
We need about four.
Four copies, okay.
Thanks, Rabbi. Sorry. It's great to be awake, because the words of Rabbi says I'm fading, which is most of the time is true. What's your name?
I'm Alan.
And you're not?
Where's
Jonathan.
I'm Brian, this is Morris.
Hi.
This is
Benji.
I
think that you came to fit this door, yeah.
I'm going to Australia by Amsterdam.
Oh.
Only for a few hours in Amsterdam. Back to the airport.
I'm
not leaving the airport though.
There's so much you learned in the morning.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
When did you see me?
Yeah, of course.
Come to say. What a day.
I just have one.
You went to
Munich. No, it's a
Can you keep these and then tell me how the links are going to
be? I keep forgetting to look at this. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
that's good. Where's the shop being? Leave our bathroom. Leave our peaches. They pop him out there and it's soft.
What did you take from
me? At least he's taking me this. It's because I went to shut it.
Did you use the word fort?
Yeah.
Well, I'll, who gets this back?
All right, I'll take this. Thank you very much.
We'll see if it works.
Do you want this?
Yeah. Oh, fine. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, are you sure?
I'm not an expert at photocopying, so...
Yeah. All right. That bit.
Now, wait a second. It says bet of an aleph or bet of a bet? What? Good. Okay. So we're all on the same page. Okay then. So we're studying Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo says that the din of dine mamonis b'shlosha only applies to gzelos v'chavolos. Now let's just simplify by saying that gzelos is a criminal case, right? Where I accuse someone of stealing. And that requires a serious bezdin, which is, we're going to try to figure out what that means, a serious bezdin. And a serious bezdin for sure, at the very minimum, means three judges, not less than three judges. So that's a criminal case called gzelos. Chavolos is also a kind of gzela because I accuse you of assault, and it means that you physically injured my body. That's also a kind of gzela. You stole part of my body.
Or it could be of a property or just a body.
But when it comes to property, that already comes up, that comes under a different kind of halacha. That means, avodine hodos valvos lo. In other words, the standard for a bezdin with regard to hodos and halvos, that's what you call general monetary law. Let's say, for example, I sue you for a loan that you never repaid me. That's called halvos. You deny that you got the loan or you claim you paid me back. In such a case, we lower the standards of Bezdin. What does that mean, we lower the standards of Bezdin? So this requires that we read a Gemara called Ulamai. Now, let's see if we can find the words Ulamai on this daf. If you count down, let's see from find the word ulamai. Just one second.
It's on the first word on the line.
Oh, it's the first word on the line. That's good. Yeah. It's about two thirds down the page. If that helps anybody.
It's the next word to their Tosfos quotes Yevamot.
Oh, okay. That's good. We always like Tosfos quoting Yevamot. That's always a good thing. But let's say we count from the bottom of the page. If you're going up from the bottom, it's about let's say 11 lines up from the bottom. Ulamai. So what we're saying is the following: that according to Rabbi Avo, when the Mishnah says dine gzelos v'chavolos b'shlosha, it's a mute, and it's coming to exclude general monetary law. You don't require shlosha. So it says ulamai. To what extent are you lowering the standards for dine mamonos, for hodos and alvos? E lema, perhaps what it means is delo be'inon shlosha.
We don't need a bet din of three.
You don't need a bet din of three. So that's impossible, because again, we're trying to interpret our Mishnah according to Rabbi Avo, and we have another statement of Rabbi Avo. V'yomer Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo made a statement, shnayim shedonu dine mamonos, l'divrei akol ein dinehem din. Which means that a monetary case that was judged by two judges, everybody agrees, is not a valid din. In other words, the halacha doesn't recognize the validity of that decision, of that ruling. So it couldn't be possible, therefore, that Rabbi Avo, when he lowers the standards of the Bezdin as far as general dini mamonis is concerned, that he meant that you could have a court that's made up of less than the minimum number of three judges. That for sure we need, because Rabbi Yavo himself is committed to the position that Shnaim Shedanu Dine Mominus Ludiria Kol Ein Dine Emdin. Ella says the Gemara, what did he mean by lowering the standards of the Bezdin? To lo be'inon mumchim. We don't need mumchim. Now, mumchim, which literally translates as experts, refers to what's called smuchim. Smuchim means those who received smicha in an unbroken chain that takes us all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, with regard to gzelos and chavolos, we are going to require smuchim. Now, the reason for that is because if we open up the parsha of Gneva, I'll show it to you for a second here in the Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, and this is in Shmos, let's see what Perek, I think it's Perek Chof Gimel, if I remember. Let's see. So there's a word here that describes Bezdin that appears three times. He says the following. This is in Perikov Beis. It says, Ki ite ishesre el re'eu kesef o kelim lishmar v'gunav mi beisai. So we're dealing with a Gneva situation. Now, there are two possibilities. The shomer, either he himself stole the object, or it was stolen from his possession, from his property. And now the Torah says that this case, where there's a lawsuit about a theft, has to be judged by Elohim. Elohim doesn't refer to the Almighty, it refers to the Dayan. Now, the Torah repeats the word Elohim three times. Number one, it says, Im lo yimtza ganav v'nikra balabais Elohim. Number two, it says, Asher yomar ki hu zeh ad Elohim yavosh dvar shneim. And number three, it says, Asher yashiyun Elohim. So within a unit of actually four psukim, the Torah repeats the word Elohim three times. This tells me that you need three judges. And we're talking about a Gneva case. Gzela Gneva. Now the word Elohim means not just the judge. You know, any of us here sitting in the room could be a judge. We could decide we're self-appointed judge. That's not enough. We need smuchim, otherwise known as mumchim. But that's only as far as Gzela is concerned. So it comes along Rabbi Yavo, and he lowers the requirements, lowers the standard as far as a bezdin for general dini mamonis when there's no gzela involved. That's called hodos valvos. And in such a case, we need three judges, but they don't have to be smuchim. They don't have to be mumchim. Does anybody follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But what kind?
You did follow me?
Yeah, but what kind?
That's good. I'll drink to that.
So it can be head your
hot water.
It's head your toes. That's what they mean. It can be any just.
Correct.
An assembly of three people.
Hedjotot. Now, there is one level which is lower than Hedjotot, so to speak. And that's called Yoshvei Kronos. Yoshvei Kronos is a reference to people who are totally ignorant. You know, literally, they never learned a word. You know, not even Sanhedrin Daf Beis. They didn't even get that far. So those are the Yoshvei Kronos. They sit on the street corners, you know. But generally speaking, when we talk about the absence of mumchim, meaning you don't have smicha, that's called hedyotos. Hedyotos are intelligent people. They have life experience. They have a basic knowledge of Jewish law. And you appoint them as judges. And the question is, can they serve on the court? And the answer is, it depends. If you're talking about gzelus v'chavolos, they cannot serve on the court, because even though they're very respectable with a lot of experience, but they don't have the status of mumchim. They are not Elohim, and the Torah in the parasha of Gneva requires Elohim times three. But if you're talking about general dini mamonis, namely gzelus namely hodos and alvos, so Reuven is suing Shimon because he didn't get repaid for his loan. In such a case, three members of the court would be sufficient, even though they're hedyotos and they're not mumchim. That's the sugya of Rabbi Avo. Now, what I want to do with you tonight is fast forward to Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. And if you have my photocopy, I'm hoping that it came out on the other side of your page. And we want to study the sugya of Rav Acha Berei de Rav Ika. And we want to compare him to Rabbi Avo and see if he says more or less the same thing as Rabbi Avo, or maybe there's a machlokas here between the two shitos. So in order to find the place, you're going to count down from the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Hanina. Now, Rabosa, I just want to make a general announcement. This is not an advertisement. I just want you to know the facts on the ground. I teach this perek in Sanhedrin every morning from 8:30 to 9:30. The Wednesday night class is meant to take us on a, so to speak, on a higher level. It's called Be'iyun. So I add the word Be'iyun, which I omit in terms of the 8:30 to 9:30 schedule. So that shift from 8:30 to 9:30 takes place right here in this classroom. Now, I don't expect you to be at that shift, but on the other hand, you know, I'm in a bind because I have this Wednesday night shiur Be'iyun, so I'm trying to juggle it in between what you know and what you don't know. So you'll have to slow me down if I go too fast, or speed me up if I go too slow. So, for example, Alan introduced himself to me. My name is Azari, his name is Alan, and we met for the first time, I think. Where are you from, Alan? Back in the old country?
South Africa, Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, okay. So I think you may know some other people here, no?
Yeah.
Oh, Brian, you're from where?
Shapiro.
And Brian, where are you from?
Johannesburg.
Also Johannesburg. Morris?
I'm from Cape Town.
Cape Town. Okay, so we have two Joburgers and one Cape Towner. Okay. I spent a Shabbos in Joburg, but I spent a week in Cape Town. And that was really exciting. Except that they discouraged me from me and my wife walking on the streets at night. Mm. So that was a big disappointment for me. Because when my wife and I go on vacation, we've been in many countries, many cities, we love to walk at night. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go back to Cape Town again. Unless they want me as a scholar in resident, that's a different thing. Anyway, so what I'm saying, Alan, I don't know your proficiency in learning, and I certainly don't know if you've ever learned Sanhedrin. Not only that, you came with the Mekachtos thinking we'll learn Megillah tonight because they didn't change it on the website. So you're gonna have to just your name I don't know.
I'm Yonatan.
Yonatan, are you also from Joburg?
From London.
You're from London, okay. So we have one American here in the group and one Dutchman. And we have a bunch of South Africans. This is what Eretz Yisrael is about. You know, it's a melting pot. That's why I say about Yom HaTzma'ut. To me, Yom HaTzma'ut means that there are 103 countries represented here in the Jewish population. 86 different languages. That's what I call a fulfillment of the Nevuah, the prophecy of the early prophets from 25 centuries ago. So we're living through exciting times. We have a lot of challenges, as you know. Even getting together a government is becoming a challenge. I still don't understand what's supposed to happen after September 17th. They're going to be back with the same numbers and the same intransigent people. So I don't know what we're going to gain there. So it can be a third round, you know. Another half a billion shekels. What?
Have another government every 6 months.
Every 6 months, we'll have another election. I don't know. But anyway, welcome to the miracle in the Middle East. So we have now a sugya called Rav Acha Berei Rav Ika. Do you have the place? We said it was about 12 lines up from the bottom of the page on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. You have that?
Yeah.
Yes? No? Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we have here? What is the sheet of Rav Acha Berei Rav Ika? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 12 lines up from the bottom of the page?
Nine from up.
Yeah, I meant to say, let's count from the top of the page down. And how many lines? About 10 lines? The first word in the line is Chanino. You have such a thing? Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Rav Acha Berei Rav Ika Omar Midoraisa Chad Nami Kosher. This is pretty way out. In other words, when we lowered the standards in Rabbi Avo's frame of reference, and we said that the Elohim times three is only in Gzelos, but it doesn't apply in general in Alvos and Odos, we lowered the standards not as far as the minimum number of judges on the court, but only as far as their ordination. In other words, what level, what quality they have. We dropped the requirement of Smuchim. But we never went down below the number three, and Rabbi Avo is quoted as saying that Beis Din Shedonu B'Shnayim is Ein Dinei Din. Here, in Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ika, at least on a Doraisa level, he's telling us that Chad Nami Kosher. So one judge is sufficient, and he could judge a case of Hodos Malvos. Now, Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ika quotes a pasuk to support his position, Shenemar, B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha. And the word Tishpot, is it in Rabim or in Yachid? It's in Lashon Yachid. It means Tishpot, he will judge. So that proves that one judge is enough. Ella, however, Mishum Yoshvei Kronos, we have a rabbinic requirement, a gzeres chachamim, not to rely on one witness, on one judge. Because if we're going to rely on one judge, then guess what might happen? We may end up appointing a Yoshvei Kronos, who's an absolute ignoramus, pardon the expression. He knows nothing about the law. He has no experience whatsoever. So that he's really below the level of Hedyotos. Okay, Hedyotos are experts in the law perhaps, but they never got smicha. They didn't pass the exams. You know, they're not total experts, but they're half experts. But Yoshvei Kronos. So the assumption is that if we get three people on the court, then at least one of them will be a hedyot. He won't be a mumche, but he won't be a Yoshvei Kronos. So now it comes out that according to Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ika, on a Doraisa level, one judge suffices. On a Derabana level, we need three judges. And that's based on the requirement of this enactment, Mina Chacham, to make sure that we don't end up with Yoshvei Kronos. However, Rav Acha has a proof from a verse in the Torah that in Parshas Kedoshim it says, "Bitzedek Tishpot Amisecha," in Lashon Yachid, indicating that as far as the Torah law is concerned, one judge is sufficient. One single judge. Now what I'd like you to do now is take a look at Rashi. Again, it's hard for me to point out where the Rashi is. If we had more sophisticated educational materials, I'd just point to the board because we would flash the daf on the board. But shall we say it's about 15 lines up from the bottom? There's a Rashi that starts with the words Midoraisa Chad Nami Kosher. You have it? Bodov Alvad, it's Siv Tishma Beloshin Yochid. And now Rashi adds another point here, V'ein Erev Parshios Khan. Now what that means is that the Torah requires Elohim times three in the parasha of Gneva, as we saw before. The next parasha in the Torah, if you flip one page, is in Kesef Talvis Ami, which is Halvos. Now if you maintain that Erev Parshios Ksiv Kan, meaning what the Torah writes here, Elohim times three in Gneva, should be applied elsewhere, meaning here in the case of Halvos. And if that be the case, then what would be the requirement on a Doraisa level for a Beis Din of Halvos?
Three as well.
Three, and they'd have to be three mumchim. Why? Because Elohim is a mumche. But now Rashi says, according to Rav Acha, we hold Ein Eruv Parashas Ksivkan. So when the Torah says Elohim, it only applies to what? To Gneva, and to Gneva. We don't extend it to the case of Mkesef Talvis Ami. So therefore, Mkesef Talvis Ami, that's going to fall into the parasha of B'tzedek Tishpot Es Amisecha, which means one judge is enough. The Rabbanan are going to jack it up and they're going to require three judges. And at that point, we're going to make sure that there's no Yoshvei Kronos over here. There's at least one single intelligent fellow who has experience in law, in Jewish law, and he's a hedyot. But on a Doraisa level, one judge is sufficient. Now, Rabosai, let me point out to you that although we can debate back and forth whether one judge is sufficient on a Doraisa level for monetary law, there is one area in Halacha where one judge is definitely sufficient. Does anybody know which area of the Torah law? If I have a chicken, and I don't know whether it has, it's a trefa or it's kshera, whether the shechita was a proper shechita, whether the blood is indicated. So I take that to a chacham, to a rabbi, and he's going to give me what's called a horas iser veheter. For horas iser veheter, all I need is one judge. I don't have to take it in front of three judges. The sheet of Rav Acha, Bereder of Ika, is very reminiscent of the laws of horas iser veheter. That just like in horas iser veheter, to answer a question of law, I don't need three judges. So too in a monetary case, I don't need three judges. But if we turn back to Rabbi Avo on Daf Beis Amid Beis, Rabbi Avo's opinion was that Shnayim Shedanu Ein Dineim Din. And you get the impression that Rabbi Avo is addressing the Doraisa requirement and he requires three judges. He also is of the opinion that Ein Erev Parashis Ksivkan. How do I know that Rabbi Avo maintains that Ein Erev Parashis Ksivkan?
He doesn't require mumchim.
Excellent, because the three judges for his court are not mumchim. If he were to apply to Alvos the same requirement of Elohim that we apply to Gzelos, then he would require mumchim, because Elohim means mumchim. Apparently he also is limiting Elohim to the parasha of what? Of Gzelos, not extending it through the mechanism of Erev Parshis to apply to Alvos. Hence you don't need mumchim, but you definitely need three. Now we're not sure why Rabbi Avo is absolutely convinced that you need three judges, and Bezdin Shedanu, Shnayim Shedanu, Ein Dineim Din. If he doesn't have the parsha of Elohim, which is multiplied three times, then how does he know that you need a Bezdin of three? And he goes out on a limb and he says that a Bezdin of two is Ein Dineim Din, it's not a valid ruling, and we don't recognize it in terms of halacha. At the same time, Rabbi Avo seems to drop the ball on B'tzedek Tishpo Desamisecha, because it was Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ika quoting the pasuk B'tzedek Tishpo Desamisecha that came to the conclusion that how many judges do we need on a Doraisa level for a case of Dini Mominus, of Halos? Only one judge, because B'tzedek Tishpo is in Lashon Yachid. Alan, are you with me so far?
So what does he do with that pasuk?
I don't know. That's a very fundamental question. So what I want to do with you tonight is study an essay in a book that's called Gvuras Yitzchak.
Now I remember it's called Yitzchak Sorotsky, right?
Excellent. Now I made three copies, and
we'll share one.
Yeah, you don't mind sharing one, and then we'll pass up. Okay. So see how you can organize this. Okay then. He starts with a Rambam. In fact, he starts with two Rambams. He's going to introduce a third Rambam. He's going to introduce a Shach and a Ketzos HaChoshen. So he has really, really impressed me by gathering together a whole bunch of sources that I have no access to at this point.
I'm very blondish with Ketzos HaChoshen.
The Ketzos is very profound. So the Rambam, in the second chapter of Hilchas Sanhedrin, writes that Afal Pisha Ein Bezdin Pachos Mishlosha. The Rambam says that you require a minimum of three judges. Who does that sound like so far? Does that sound like Rabbi Avo or like Rav Acha? Like Rabbi Avo. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, Mutar li echad ladun min haTorah shenemar b'tzedek tishpot es hamisecha. Who does that sound like? Rabbi Acha, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, because you remember the Rav Acha flexed the pasuk of B'tzedek Tishpot Es HaMisecha, and based on that pasuk he came to the conclusion that one judge is sufficient. So the Rambam is a little bit perplexing, because he opens up by telling us that there's no such thing as a Bezdin less than three judges. And then he goes on to say, but it's okay if one judge will decide the case, namely, B'tzedek Tishpot Es HaMisecha. Now again, if the Rambam was telling me something theoretical, you know, he wants to tell you a Doraisa Halach, you should know that on a Doraisa level, one judge is sufficient. So then he's telling us, although Min Rabbanan, there's no such Bezdin that's less than Shlosha. You remember that Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ika, despite the pasuk B'tzedek Tishpot Es HaMisecha, which determined that one judge is sufficient. Nevertheless, he said that the Rabbanan enacted a gzera in which they required no less than three judges. And the reason for that is to avoid the Yoshvei Kronos. But I don't think for one minute that that's the pshat in the Rambam, because the Rambam says, Mutol li'echad ladun. But he says, Minat Torah. You see, that's where it gets confusing. Is the Rambam telling you Minat Torah as a theoretical principle? And if so,
what does mutar mean again? So mutar means lechatchila, right? The word mutar in general.
Yeah, it means lechatchila. You can have a judgment of one judge, but then the Rambam adds minat Torah. So I don't know. Is the Rambam the Rambam might be codifying the halacha of Rav Acha, Bereid Rav Ika, and you know, it's somehow and for some reason very critical for the Rambam that we understand that on a Torah level, Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha teaches me that one judge is sufficient. But again, the language of the Rambam is a little bit strange because it says Mutol li'echad ladun. I mean, that sounds like go ahead and judge with one lone judge, you know, a one man show, as I call it. So what is the Rambam saying over here? He says Ein Bezdin Pachas Mishlosha. There's no such thing as a Beis Din less than three. And then he goes on to say that Mutar li'echad ladun. But then he adds Minat Torah as if to say, well, you know, that's before the Rabbanim made their enactment. Mm-hmm. Now the Shach has a question. This question of the Shach is based on a principle which is called Shlichusayu Kavdinan. I'm going to try to explain what that principle means. We said that mumchim means smicha in an unbroken chain going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have such smuchim today. But what we do have is something called shlichusayu kavdinon, which literally translates, we are their agents. So what it means is that there was a period of time, maybe it lasted for 40 generations, where there was smicha in an unbroken chain. So we had Elohim as the Torah requires it. Smicha ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. However, what the judges did during that period, foreseeing that a future scenario, future situation is going to come about in which we no longer have an unbroken chain and there's going to be there's not going to be any smuchim, what they did is they said, we're going to apply the principle of shlichu sayukov dina. We're going to, so to speak, I guess you could call it figuratively, we're going to appoint all judges that are experts to be our shluchim. We're going to need some sort of supervision or some sort of a body, which Morris called accreditation, if I remember your word, to make sure and supervise that these judges that don't have the real Makoi smicha, but they have some sort of a smicha, there's some sort of accreditation, they were tested, they were recognized, they know how to learn, they know they're experts in law, and once we have that, then we can apply the principle of shlichu sayu kavdinan. And it's almost as if, for all intents and purposes, they are mumchim, they are smuchim. They have the original smicha. They don't really have the original smicha. On a doraisa level, the Torah would not recognize them as such, but through the mechanics of shlichu sayu kavdinan, which is again a sugya in two places in Shas, that would require another bunch of hours of study, but we'll accept it just on a basic level, that shlichu sayu kavdinan means that they will fulfill our requirement of smuchim, even though technically they're not smuchim.
So it's some kind of mechanism to give them the halachic authority to represent us?
To represent the original mumchim, the original smuchim. As if, kaviyachal, they received that smicha, the real genuine smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu.
What they called?
That's called shlichusayu kavdinan. Okay? I can write it on the board, but you'll see it inside. If you can, you can underline it on your page. This page is a gift from the Amic Learning Center. All right. So what does it say? This is going to be the Shach's question. You see, the Shach, you know, just to put it in a historical context, lived how many centuries ago?
Four
centuries ago. And the Shach is almost considered like a Rishon, even though the Rishonim period ends about five centuries ago. So really he's an Achron. But the Shach is so powerful, nobody moves without the Shach. It's like, even the Sfaradim have come to accept the Shach. It's like universal amongst Jews. The Shach is the Shach.
Chassidim
as well. I mean, nobody moves without the Shach. So the Shach asks the following question. There are two sugyas in Shas that tell us that even in Bavel, way beyond the termination of the original Smich of Ish Mipi Ish, they were still judging Hodos Falvos, and why? The Gemara says in two places, in Maset the Baba Kama, in Maset the Gittin, because Anan Shlichusayu Kavdinan. So do you see those words? If you can underline those words, I have a pen for you here if you need one. No, you want me to underline it? He give it to me, I'll underline it. If you're lazy, okay? No, you have to see this inside, otherwise it's Anan Shlichusayu Kavdinan. Okay, I'm going to underline it for you. See if you can focus on those words. Now, Anan Shlichusayu Kavdinan means that we require mumchim, smuchim. We don't have smuchim, but what we do have is a substitute, a mechanism that substitutes for smuchim, and that's called Shlichusayu Kavdinan. The Rambam, in fact, in the fifth parak of Sanhedrin, we started with the second parak. Now we're fast forwarding to the fifth parak. The Rambam says, "Donim balvos vodos bechutzlartz v'afal pisha ein bezdin shel chutzlartz Elohim," meaning we don't have smicha, but nevertheless shlichus bezdin shel Eretz Yisrael osim, and that smicha of Eretz Yisrael was the original genuine smicha ish mipi ish that linked us all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's clear, both from the sugyas and from the Rambam, is that we need three mumchim in order to judge hodos valvos. The only way we can get mumchim and judge these cases is through the mechanism of shlichusayu kavdinan. Now, what's going on over here? The Rambam himself opens up Perek Beis in the Ilcha Sanhedrin and says that all you need is one judge. So why are you telling me shlichusayu kavdinan? One judge is enough. And that's derived, says the Rambam, from the Pasuk, B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. How could the Rambam, on the one end, say that you can have a judgment of one judge, he's not even a mumcha, and that judgment is valid based on the Pasuk, B'tzedek tishpot amisecha, and yet at the same token, the Rambam says we have to apply the principle of shlichusayu kavdinan, and therefore we need three mumchim that have smicha, and they can only operate because of shlichusayu kavdinan. So again, the question here is a twofold question. It's the same question twice over. It's either a contradiction between our sugya of Rav Acha Bar Ika, who insists that one judge is sufficient based on b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, and that's against the Gemara in two places that assumes that our ability to judge cases of hodos valvos is predicated on shlichusayu kavdinan, which extends the original smicha to our experts who are not technically musmachim, but we consider them as shluchim, as agents of the original smuchim. Or you could formulate it in a different way. How could the Rambam on the one hand tell us that we paskin like Rav Acha Breder of Ika, we're going to accept the principle of Echad mutli echad lodun shenemar b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, and at the same time the Rambam elsewhere three prakim forward says that we can only accept dayonim in alvos and alvos and odos because of the principle of shlichusayu kavdina, because if not for shlichusayu kavdina we don't have Elohim. But when you just finished saying that one dayon is enough, even though he's not a mumcha, he's a hedjo. Very strange.
So it's two very extremes. It's like the very chamor and the very kal.
Yeah. Now Rashi writes, as we saw earlier, in the Rashi in the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph, Midoraisa Chad Nami Kosher V'Avol V'Kiksiv B'Tzedek Tishpot Samisecha Loshen Yochid V'Ein Erev Parashiyas Kan. Tosis raises the following objection. If you have a pasuk that says B'tzedek tishpot amisecha, which teaches me that one judge is sufficient, then why does Rashi have to say Ein Erev Parshis Ksivkan? If Ein Erev Parshis Ksivkan, then we don't have a parasha of Elohim three times to require three judges. And yet Rashi seems to imply the reason why one judge is sufficient is because of the pasuk Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha. Why do we need the Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha if Erev Parshias Ein Ksiv Kan, which means that it doesn't say Elohim three times? Why should we require three judges? So therefore, Tosus assumes that according to Rav Acha, Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan. Now, if Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan, we need Elohim times three, we need three judges. Well, that doesn't help us, because clearly Rav Acha says that one judge is sufficient, and he derives it from B'tzedek Tishvat HaSamisecha. How can you reconcile B'tzedek Tishvat HaSamisecha requiring only one judge with Erev Parshias Ksiv, which means that even in Aldos and Alvos we require three judges and they have to be smuchim? Now he quotes another Rambam, and finally the Ketos HaChoshen. The Rambam says in Hilchas Schirus that Erev Parshias Ksiv, the Afal Pike, nevertheless the Rambam paskins that one judge can be sufficient, and the Rambam invokes the pasuk B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha. So Lechet Mishnah says the following, that the Rambam holds like Tosfos, that even though Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan, nevertheless we derive from B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha that one is sufficient. Again, but we don't know how to reconcile that, because if you're applying the principle of Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan, then you should require a minimum of three judges, and they have to be smuchim, and now you're quoting the pasuk B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, which means that only one judge is required.
The pasuk overrules the other one? What does it do?
So what does that mean? So what do you derive from Erev Parshias? If the Torah says Elohim three times, and you're operating with the method of Erev Parshias, how can you get away with B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha? I mean, there's a head-on collision over here. So now in the paragraph on the top left, he quotes the Ketos HaChoshen, who says the following, that the Rama paskins Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan, and therefore in Odos Valvos we need three mumchim. And at the same time we have a pasuk that says B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, and Lameda Mikro, we derive from this verse that Chad Nami Kosh, that one judge is sufficient. The Yachid Yachal Ladun Mea Torah, Kol Kamadi Odea Svaros Bedinim, as long as he's an expert in the dinim. Velo Adif, okay, here's where you want to underline. And again, if you want, I'll underline it for you. Oh, great. If you'll do it yourself, I'll be very excited. I teach you like I teach young boys, and I'm sorry, I hope you're not insulted, but I want to tell you to underline when I think it's important that you underline. Here's the key word, the key line in the Ketos HaChoshen. V'lo adif, you have it? V'lo adif, it's on line 5, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. V'lo adif sak shel dini mamonos mi piskei shel iser v'heter. That's the line I want you to underline. There's an amazing revolution here, an analogy, an equation here in the Ketos between two areas of halacha that lechora are mutually exclusive. One is called dini mamonos and the other is called iser v'heter. And here the Ketos HaChoshen equates the two, and he says the following, that just like in iser v'heter, all we need is one judge to decide the law and paskin on the chicken whether you can eat it or not, so too in dini mamonos, in order to determine the law between two litigants, all you need is one judge. Oh,
but isn't there a difference, fundamental difference? You've got two litigants in the one instance, and you've got one person bringing something in the other instance.
Right, the truth is, even if the person didn't even bring the chicken, I mean, I have to know what's the status of the chicken. It's not a matter of litigants at all.
Yeah,
and that's called oras isuveta. Horas Isveheter means that I have to know the law and I have to know the reality, and then I decide the law. I mean, that's not dini mamonos. That's not a case of litigation. In litigation, the Torah requires three judges. Now we're saying B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, and all you need is one judge. And we just finished saying that the Rambam is committed to the position of Erev Parshias Ksiv Kan, which means that in order to judge a case, you need three judges and you need mumchim. So how do we reconcile that with the fact that the Rambam says Mutal Lodun be'echad, and based on B'tzedek Tishvah HaSecha, says the Ketos HaChoshen, the one judge is not serving as a court, he's just issuing an Iser V'Ether. Aval Torah is based in Lohavi. He's not a Bezdin, because the Torah says a Bezdin is made up of Elohim times three, and we're holding Erev Parashas Ksiv Kan. So there's nothing, Bezdin can be made up of no less than three judges, and the Ram himself says it. So how do we understand that when one judge is determining a case of Didi Mominos, he's doing so as Oros Isa Veheter? Well, how can it be Oros Isa Veheter if he himself is not a Bezdin, and a Bezdin has to be Elohim made up of three judges, so they have to be even Smuchim? Very strange.
But of course, you don't need Shem of Beiti in the case of Havot. You don't need Shem Beiti.
What does that mean? We don't need a Shem Beiti. How can you understand that? So what I'd like you to do now is, for just a moment, if we could fast forward to the next page, which is, should be on the flip side of your page. It should say on top, Mem Beis. He says the following, Vihine, the second paragraph. Rav Acha Yolif Di Yochid Kashel Adun Mehadik Siv B'Tzedek Tishvar Amisecha. Vihine B'Krok Siv Da'avi Mishpat V'Din. In other words, the use of the word Tishpot is Miloshan Mishpat. And he says the following. It would seem, and this is against the position of the Ketos HaChoshen, that the word Mishpat is used here in the context of Horas Mishpat. Eino, right, he says to find Nirmi said to Yochid, Eino Rak Mora Horah Bialma. The Torah is not just saying that he's giving a Horas Din, but rather, as Isa Veheter, Ki Im Din Vishofet. He is judging between two litigants, and therefore it's called Mishpat. So how do we understand the Ketzos, who says that according to Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika, deriving from B'Tzedek Tishvat HaMisecha, that it's not a Mishpat, it's not a decision of Bezdin, but rather it's Oras Isa V'Heter, which only requires one judge? The Torah calls it Mishpat. Now again, I don't know how to solve this problem, but I think I begin to see a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel here. What I mean to say is the following. There are two ways of understanding Mishpat. One way is to decide who has to pay whom. The other way is to come up with a ruling based on a decision about who's right and who's wrong, so to speak. Meaning, Reuven is claiming that Shimon owes him 1,000, correct? If you want to analyze this from the perspective of Mishpat, what the Dayanim have to do is they have to decide who's Zakai and who's Chayav. What I mean to say is that is the truth on the side of Reuven, who says that Shimon owes him 1,000, or is the truth on the side of Shimon, who denies that he owes him 1,000? That's called Mishpat. Mishpat means when you have two people in front of you and you have to decide who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. There's another way of understanding this whole process, and that's called Horas Iser Veheter. And basically what the process requires is that we decide what does a Jew have to do in this case. In other words, here are the circumstances. And based on the rules that govern the law, we have to finally come up with a decision as to who has to shell out and who doesn't have to shell out. That's called Oras Isa Veheter. What basically we're telling the two litigants is this is what the Jewish law requires. It may require that Shimon pay Reuven 1,000, otherwise he's violating the Isur Gzela. It may require that Reuven drop the case against Shimon, and Shimon does not have to pay the 1,000. And if Reuven would take the 1,000, he would be violating Gzela. In other words, on a moral, ethical level, we have to decide what the standards and the rules of the Torah would be in this case. In that context, it's no different than deciding on a chicken whether the chicken is allowed to be eaten, it's kosher, or it's a treif for chicken and you can't eat it. In other words, every monetary decision can be viewed in two different ways. It could be viewed as a conflict between two balei dinim, and the judges now have to decide where's the right and where's the wrong, who's the zakai and who's the chayav. Or it could be understood as a ras din, and it's like iser v'heter, which we're telling the litigants that according to the law, this is what has to be done. This is what the Torah would require. If you turn back, for example, to the bottom of page Mem Aleph, the previous page.
So, can I ask you a question? A second, if it's Issa Vahedra, are we saying then that there'd be a prescribed way to do it, irrespective of who's right and who's wrong? You'll just apply it as it was.
Correct. Like, let's say, for example, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me 1,000. And Shimon says, I don't know. I really don't know. I remember that we talked about it. Maybe I paid you back. He's totally confused. That's called in the language of Shas what? Do you remember that the name for that? Oh, excellent, excellent. But I mean to say, you're a step ahead of me, but I mean Shimon's confusion is called what in halacha, in Shas? It's called a taina shema. Right, so we paskin, and that's what Alan is saying very well. Bari v'shem alav, bari adif, because hamotzi mechavel of haraya. Meaning, the fact that Shimon doesn't remember is not going to be powerful enough to allow Reuven to collect the money, because we still don't know. You know, Reuven has not substantiated his claim; he has no witnesses, and he has no raya. And Shimon is saying, "I'm confused. I don't remember what happened." Now, we can look at this in two different ways. One way of looking at it is, well, what should Shimon do in this situation? Reuven is claiming that he didn't get the money back. You yourself, Shimon, are confused. You might be stealing Reuven's money. That's a suffix zela. Well, on a moral, ethical level, the Torah would require you to pay, even though you're in doubt, you don't know what you have to pay. And there are a million situations that you and I face on a daily basis where we're not sure, we don't know. So we should take the high road and apply the principle like we would in a chicken, right? We're not going to eat that chicken if we have doubts whether it's kosher or not. I'm not going to hold on to your money and assume, well, I don't owe you the money if I don't remember whether I owe you it or not. So that's one way of understanding. That would be a Ras Iser V'Heter, where I turn to Shimon and I say the right thing to do on an ethical level is to pay up if you don't know. But then there's another set of rules and regulations that apply to a Beis Din. And a Beis Din has to come to the conclusion whether the right is with Reuven or the right is with Shimon. Here we have a principle called Amotzi Mechavel of Araya and Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Adif. And therefore Shimon doesn't have to pay. So there are two different ways of understanding how this works. One way is to call it a Beis Din, and Beis Din has to decide who's Zakai and who's Chayov, and they have to litigate between these two litigants. Or adjudicate between these two litigants. There's another way of understanding it, that it's a Ras Iser V'Heter. So, for example, if you take a look at the bottom of page Mem Aleph, he says, Nistapku, which means we have a doubt, Bebezdin Psulim Ladun Dine Mamis Belaila. We have a rule that Beis Din cannot convene at night. It's got to be during the day. What does that mean? He says one way of understanding it is that at nighttime they're not a Beis Din. The status of a Beis Din as a Beis Din is only during the day at night. On the other hand, on the top of Mem Beis, the other possibility is Afal Gavdol Chaser B'Toras Beis Din, even though they are a Beis Din, Mikomakom Yesh. Psul Ladun Balaila. We can't judge at night. It's a problem not in the Beis Din and the status of the Beis Din, it's a problem in Din. Now if we add the Ktsos into the equation, the Ktsos says that one single judge is enough to come up with Horas Iser V'Heter. And that's what we're going to derive from Bitzedek Tishpot Amisecha. Would that decision have to be made by day, or could it be made at nighttime? You're not following me. If you bring me a chicken, Right, what time is it now? Oh, it's late. It's 9:25.
We're done at night, actually.
Sure, I can paskin on this chicken at night.
Yeah.
I mean, in Maros of Noshim, you have to have enough light in order to see whether it's red, it's blue, it's yellow, it's green. But if you're asking about the chicken, I can paskin at night. So if the Shach is right, that the Rambam is recognizing a horas isa v'heter in dini mamonos, then that could apply at night as well. So that when you say that a bezdin is not a bezdin at night, or if you alternatively say that a bezdin can't issue a ruling at night, that's called a ruling of mishpat of a bezdin. So let me ask you the following question. There's halach in bezdin that bezdin could subpoena a litigant to court, and if he refuses to come, they can issue a verdict even in his absence. Again, I don't know if in other laws, in other legal systems, that applies. But anyway, in Jewish law, there's such a thing as the power of a bezdin. Again, the power of a bezdin is limited to daytime, not at nighttime. But when there's a bezdin during the day, made up of three judges, they, if necessary, could impose their ruling against the will of the litigant, even if the litigant refuses to show up in court and he's not there, he's not even present. That's the power of a bezdin. What would you say about the shach in... Well, I'm sorry, I keep saying the shach, I mean the ketos, in the case of one judge. Can that one judge impose his decision against the will of the litigants? And the answer is no. Why? Because he doesn't have the status of a bezdin. He's not a bezdin. So the Rambam on the one hand could paskin Erev Parshiyos Siksiv, which means Elohim, 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 and we can't judge as a bezdin without three mumchim. But at the same time, according to the Ktos HaChoshen, the Rambam could say Mutar li'echad ladun b'tzedek tishpot es hamisecha, but only if we understood that the mutar ladun is not a din of a mishpat of a bezdin, but rather it's a ras isa v'heter. And this is a fascinating concept, which you'll see again in the paragraph on, and we'll have to stop in a minute, but on the paragraph on Mem Aleph that says, Vehine Aktos HaChoshem, there are two such paragraphs, I mean the second one, Kosav the Yochid Shedon, Kishain Lo Torah's Bezdin, Haviko Ros Isu Beheter, Derak More Umalamines Hadin. Do you see those words? What basically this one Dayan is doing, he's not functioning as a Bezdin. We need Elohim, 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 three judges for that. But what he's doing is he's telling the litigants what the din would be in this case. Just like if you came to me with a chicken, I would tell you what the din would be. Eino posek din ala adam. Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll end the shiur with a story about the Beis HaLevi. That was my Rebbe's great grandfather. His name was Rav Yosher Brisker, and the Beis HaLevi once paskined on a litigation of a shava pruta, and he paskined that the law was with Shimon. Shimon started screaming and yelling. How can you do that? So the Beis HaLevi asked him, a week ago you came to me with a chicken and I paskin that it was treif. You took a loss of 500 rubles. Now you lost a couple of rubles. Why are you yelling at me? So the man said to the Beis HaLevi, when you paskin on the chicken, you paskin on the chicken. When you said that I'm chayiv, you paskin on me. That's the difference between Mishpat and Oras Isa V'Heter. So if there's one Dayan in a case of Dini Mominos, he's not going to paskin on the litigant. He's not going to say you're the Chayav and you're the Zakai. He's going to paskin what the Din would say. This is what you should do. And that's Oras Isa V'Heter. In the case of a Mishpat, in the case of a Bezdin, that's a whole different story. Bezdin paskins on the Gavra, not on the Isa V'Heter, but on the Gavra. The Gavra is Chayav and he has to pay. Hence he was very insulted when he paskined that he's Chayav. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. But next Wednesday we'll try to wrap this all up. And I appreciate that you came, and you'll have to give me the feedback if this is something that you enjoy. If you want to go slower, go faster. And I want to wish everyone a great Kabbalah Satorah on Chag HaShavuos, and we should be zochim Ritz Hashem to lots of learning time in the year to come.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hmm.